Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. We have a good cast tonight. tonight's topic involves something that was mentioned last week on our radio show. One of our guest callers from St. Louis said that Michael Brown had, from Ferguson in 2014, had put his hand in the police car and tried to take Officer Darren Wilson's gun. That's not true. Officer Darren Wilson slammed the door open on Dorian Johnson and Michael Brown. I have a lot of facts to prove it, but I'm not going to do my introduction until my guest callers call in, and I'm waiting for several of them. We have Don on the line, and we're waiting for John Yoder and Pionke. So I'm going to play a Don. You're not muted yet, but I'm playing a clip from a local government official from St. Louis. Give me a second, please. Okay.
And Michael's body lays 152 feet and 9 inches away from the police car. Darren shot him in the hand once at the car, then shot him 7 times in the middle of the street. Many witnesses said Mike was surrendering to Darren with his hands up. However, Darren claims Mike charged him while he unloaded his clip at Mike. Police then left Mike's body in the middle of the street that day for 4.5 hours. Mike laid uncovered for approximately an hour before they put a sheet on him. The next day, St. Louis County Police Chief Bell Maher gave the first official police statement about the shooting.
Ferguson police officer had an encounter with two individuals on the street. There was a shooting that occurred. There was a struggle over the officer's weapon. There was at least one shot fired with... in the car. They were fatal injuries. The entire scene from approximately the car door to the shooting is about 35 feet. The subject was struck by gunfire. It was more than just a couple, but I don't think it was many more than that. I don't want to do anything that would ever prejudice this case on either side of it. I feel like we've done a very good job regarding the investigation. We've done a very comprehensive canvas. We've talked to as many people as we can. We're trying to get any electronic data, any footage that's out there of the incident, and we are continuing to talk to folks today. Again, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Well, that was interesting. There seems to be a couple inconsistencies in his statement. First, Delmar says Mike was only 35 feet away from Officer Wilson's SUV, when we know, based on the actual evidence from the scene, that he was 152 feet and 9 inches away. And second, Delmar says Mike was only hit a few times, but we know that he was actually shot 7 times, and the gun was fired 12 times. So why would Delmar tell the press these things, when he had to have known, based on the hours of investigation of the shooting, that those two statements were not correct? I'll let Normandy Mayor Patrick Green answer that.
It is a cover-up. I mean, this is, how do we soften the shame? Immediately, the region went into, how do we protect this officer? How do we protect this system of policing? Even if it is to cover up what he may have done wrong. The cover-up, to me, is that one white officer is more important than all these African-Americans put together. And we have to save that fraternal order. We have to keep that perception that this was just the risk of the job. And instead of saying, let's follow the law, let's follow good practice, let's follow good standards and morality. And in this end, what it did was, again, lose more confidence in the public about the role of what police are here for.
So let's pretend we're a police department and something really...
I'm pausing the video now. The movie is called Stranger Fruit. Stranger Fruit. It's based on the song called Strange Fruit that was sung many years ago about men being lynched in the South. I want to do a backstory first. Missouri was the last state to free slaves. In 1917, they had a massacre of black people in one part of St. Louis. A white mob murdered and attacked 250 blacks. They probably attacked more than that. but 250 of them died. To this day, it is still the largest massacre in U.S. history of blacks, including that Tulsa massacre. Ferguson, Missouri is an interesting suburb, as Pianki mentioned last week. A lot of people move there to flee inner city Ferguson. However, 92% of the arrests were black people, even though it was 66% black and 33% white. Out of one of every three citizens stopped, white people had drugs on them, and only one out of every five blacks had drugs on them. Blacks were disproportionately arrested. Malcolm X warned of a police state that goes back into slavery, in which white people feared blacks, they would become free and overtake them. Malcolm X warned of black people being arrested for no reason who were unarmed back in his the height of his popularity concerning disparities in our culture. I want to state two other interesting facts. The store surveillance from when Michael Brown was accused of stealing from a store and lightly pushing a clerk, none of that came out until after his death, and Darren Wilson, the shooter of Michael Brown, knew nothing about it until after he died. The police used that store surveillance footage to cover up Darren Wilson's behavior. Also, I will bring up some other facts later about the police force and their corruption later in the show. Also, Dorian Johnson and Michael Brown were walking down the street, but when the cop confronted them, he slammed the door open on them. Michael Brown did not put his hand in the car, and then he proceeded to chase them down the street, shot Michael Brown from behind, over 152 feet away. With that, I'm going to pull in Don. Hi, Don. How's it going tonight?
It's going well. Thank you very much. How's everybody?
Well, everybody's not here yet. John's the one who requested the show an hour early so he could go shower in the gym after. And I've corresponded with Pianki today twice, and he hasn't called in yet, but he will. So,
right.
And I think Wade is kind of distracted with his teaching these days. I didn't invite Albert because I have a special guest tonight, and Albert has a tendency to change the topic. I wanted to bring up something from last week, and overall, wholeheartedly, after watching that St. Louis massacre in 1917 in St. Louis, black people overall up until probably the last 25 years have been treated horrible in our country. There's not even a word or an excuse for the unjustified violence people have invoked on them, including my so-called white brothers, which I claim none, being that my grandma came here from Helsinki in 1902. But it's uncalled for. And when Michael Brown was shot from behind, all they were doing is walking down the street, period. That's all they were doing. That Darren Wilson creature didn't know nothing about a skirmish in a convenience store. And for that matter, I heard in the last 5 years that Michael Brown had given pot to one of the clerks, and the clerks gave him a free candy bar or whatever he took. So there was some kind of inside thing there. And either way, even if they were just like, you know, being teenagers and walking down the middle of the yellow stripes, that doesn't constitute murder. And for that matter, he had a baby face. He was only 18. He had just finished high school. He was unarmed, and he was not a threat. So I just wanted to clear some facts up tonight because That movie Stranger Fruit came out as a documentary about 2 years ago, and it's on a free streaming service called Tubi, and it lays down all the facts. And the reason the media turned the Ferguson thing into a circus was because of that convenience store tape that had nothing, not a thing to do with Officer Darren shooting and killing Michael Brown. So I just want to know what your overall take on it is, based on what you knew in the past and what you know now.
First of all, I didn't know that the clerk was giving him the candy bar.
There was a source that said that he had been in that store many times, and there was some underhanded, you know, there was a deal going on between one of the clerks and him in the past. Now, on that day, I'm not sure. So skip over that fact for now. It's just in the archives of history. But just go by what you know and then tell me what you think.
All right, because that's a big point right there.
I'll go over it again after you're done, but I want you to talk.
Well, no, there is the freaking big point is that all black men are targets. They are purposely targeted in one way or another to be taken out of the system, to not have any dealings with society. This has been going on since day one. They brought us here to be slaves. They brought us on boats. We were laying on top of each other naked for 3 months. That's the genus how we got here. So, you know, this is nothing unusual.
And it's rather depressing.
It shouldn't be, because your white privilege comes from the people who made the laws, built this country, and took a dump on it because they polluted the air and water that we drink and breathe. But we can't even live here anymore with bad food that we're eating and the lack of exercise, because essentially the bottom line of everything is efficiency. And to be so efficient as to have people sitting on their butts all day doing nothing but, you know, with the Roomba vacuuming their house and instant food.
You mean the Roomba?
Roomba. And Alexis, you know, turning on all your lights and TVs and everything.
All people are getting lazy, not just white people.
Right.
There's many people getting lazy.
They started it.
I know three high school kids, Don. They chose to take their senior year online because of convenience. They could care less about high school as far as cultural or connections with people. They just immediately chose to take all their classes online for the sheer convenience.
Uh-huh.
They have no interest in forming bonds with people in real life.
Well, if they're 260 pounds, then you see the point. But we've achieved our goals of being as efficient as we want to be. So essentially, there's nothing left for us to achieve. And so that makes us
I am kind of shocked, though, that that's true, because I work with a girl in the Ordine Middle School cafeteria. She's an ultra marathoner. She runs 50-mile races. Unless people are self-motivated, there is no – you can survive in our society with no goals. I mean, obviously – if you're not collecting a government service, you're going to have to make at least 12 to 15 bucks an hour to pay rent at the minimum. But really, Hey, I know people who do it. I make $17.50 an hour, so I'm in better shape. Plus, I get a lot of bonuses. But
plus, you've got a room.
The fact of the matter is some people, I'm talking about the minimum, you know, people on the minimum level of society who have no ambition, they have no ambition to work more than they have to. They call in sick 3 to 4 times a month minimum. Some call 7 or 8. And I've been, on the nursing home perspective, I've seen such poor work performance and consistency. I see it every day there as far as people being inconsistent and showing up for work.
Right, and there's no reason for people to work when they can get unemployment or their mom or dads can vouch for them until they're 55 years old. So there's no reason to complain. There's no reason to be active and ergo be creative, you know, because when you're moving, when you're thinking, you're able to bring out your creativity, and people don't have creativity anymore. All your music,
well, I do, you know, let's just put this in perspective, though. I'm in my 60s. I'm in the most highest productivity I've been in my life. I've been working 3 jobs since age 53. By the way, Pianki's on the air now, so he missed the whole intro. I do know a lot of people who are ambitious. I actually know a cop who every day after he's a school cop. Every day after work, he has to take his kids to 3 or 4 sporting practices. I know people like my friend Donna, who's not only visiting her husband in long-term care every day, but she's helping others. I know a lot of productive people, but I also know lazy people, and I know people in this generation who are having 2 or 3 kids and they don't even have a car. Every time Every time I don't take this girl to work, let's say I'm on the other side of town and I say, I can't pick you up tonight, you'll have to find your own way. She has to take a $20 Uber to work because of her poor planning or her lazy husband. So there are people in this world who are doing things, they're just not doing it in a productive manner. Now, I want to, we do have our guest caller on the line, so I want to bring him up to speed. So just hold on a second, Don. Pianki, before I pull you in, the topic of the show is putting Michael Brown to eternal rest, the documentary Stranger Fruit. The highlights of that documentary, whether people think it's one-sided or not, because I'm sure there's some coppers out there who think it's one-sided, The documentary stated Missouri was the last state to free slaves. In 1917, there was a 250 black man massacre, meaning the whites came to their section of town, mauled them, attacked them, and 250 died. The police force of Ferguson was already tainted. There was a state representative who had been a police chief named Jeff Riorda. He falsified documents but managed to get elected. Darren Wilson was fired in Jennings police force, then rehired in Ferguson. He had 4 PED violations, meaning stalking pedestrians, trying to make them look like they had crimes when they didn't. There was another district attorney who had never prosecuted anyone for police shootings. And the last thing is, the Michael Brown footage from the convenience store was released after his death, not before. Darren Wilson didn't know about it. None of the public knew about it. And they tried to tie that incident in the store with the method and choice that Darren Wilson used to shoot him. Also, I want to correct you, Pianki, on one thing from last week. According to this documentary, Darren Wilson opened the police car door, slammed Dorian Johnson and Michael Brown in the legs. At no time in the documentary does it say that he reached in there for the gun. So I'm going to let you defend yourself. because I know you're a cultural leader down there. So go ahead, Pianke, you're on the air. And John, I see you
well,
too. You just
Darren Wilson's Darren Wilson was on his way to our emergency, and these kids was walking in
I
the street.
I did know
in
that.
The street. Yeah, he was on his way to an emergency to answer another call. Like some young girl had, I think she was choking. And they was walking down the street.
True.
And he went by. Yeah, as he's walking down the street, he told him to get out the street. Then, of course, they threw the F-bombs at him, and he stopped and came back, backed up. And from my understanding, Mike Brown was over on the passenger side, reached in there and tried to take his gun from him. One gunshot went off inside the vehicle. Well, you know, at that point in time.
Well, this is what the documentary said, but it said that when they were near the car door, they were but near the yellow lines, the cop had shot Michael Brown in short range and hit him in the hand. Now, they didn't mention him reaching in there, but they did mention that when the cop got upset, he pushed the door open, hit both those guys in the legs, and then the two suspects started leaving the area. They separated themselves from the cop and left. But when the cop, Darren Wilson, finally did decide to shoot him, he was between 100 and 152 feet away, and he shot him 12 times and only hit him 7 times. But his back was turned to the police, meaning that he wasn't approaching the police. He was fleeing because he was scared.
No, he was charging the police from what we heard.
Well, I asked Don and John to watch Stranger Fruit on Tubi, but Don has little technology skills, and John probably could have done it, but I know he didn't have time. So maybe in the future you guys can watch it. It's free on Tubi, T-U-B-I. All you have to do is sign in with your email or your social media account. So the reason I like the documentary is because it not only did it describe all the facts of the case, but it described the history of that St. Louis area, why people moved to Ferguson to get away, certain backgrounds of the police officer and law enforcement that handled that.
Blacks moved to Ferguson to get away from the crown. Blacks moved to Ferguson to get away from crime in North St. Louis. Walnut Park, Penrose Park, DeVille, and that's how they got there.
Well, they didn't succeed because their child died. And not only that, Michael Brown laid in the street 4.5 hours. They covered him up after the first hour. They didn't remove the body for 4.5 hours on a 98-degree day.
Probably waiting on the coroner to show up. When you're running the way they have calls for a coroner to show up there in that area, you're lucky you probably didn't get there until a day later.
Well, there were 3 different police forces that showed up and probably over 50 cops because they were scared of the crowd. I don't know.
That was after the crowd. I was in a restaurant, African Palace, on West Florissant, there at Seven Hills Drive, when the owner's daughter came in and told me about what happened.
All I know, this is how I want to put this in perspective because there's more than one. The media had a field day with that convenience store video. That was their trigger to make Michael Brown look like a bad person. Now,
was he selling marijuana to the store owner?
I heard from another source that the clerk and him had a special deal that if he provided them with pot, he got some free stuff. Now, that was not in the documentary, I just want to add. So he did push someone in the convenience store, but you can't see the footage clearly. But that doesn't make him guilty of walking down the side of the road and the police who had no idea.
Well, that convenience,
about
right?
That convenience store
is a long ways from Canfield Drive.
Right, and did you know Darren Wilson, the officer who shot Michael Brown, knew nothing about that store incident or that video?
No, he did not.
The police went fishing for something to make him look bad.
No, I didn't know that he, we didn't know nothing about the video. We know it's a lot of bad activity that goes on right there next to that McDonald's, which I don't even understand how they even stay open. But
yeah, by the way,
on.
John's on the air, and I wanted to clear up what was said last week. And there was one other thing I was going to say. I don't remember now. But basically, I think I learned a lot from this video because St. Louis has always had a treacherous history, and there were snippets in the video of historical events that kind of clarified that. And it did concur what Minneapolis was trying to do is defund the police department because pretty much in that part of the country, the police are predatory towards all black people. And did believe in the judicial ruling, they said that 95% of the Ferguson revenue came from targeting black people with parking tickets and stuff. I remember reading
when you're in Nigeria, 95% of the people that you ticket is going to be Nigerians, right? They're going to be black, right? Because of the percentage of the population. So that's the same thing there in Ferguson.
But there's only 66% blacks in Ferguson.
Yeah, but
out of
the
whole population.
It may be Ferguson may be 67% black at the time, but the ones that's driving and creating traffic violations is blacks. Not only the ones in Ferguson, but the ones that come out of St. Louis and other areas. You got Berkeley. You have other little towns right there in that area.
Okay, my
if you go to West Florissant and Chambers and just look at the traffic, you won't see no whites driving cars past that intersection. They're all black.
Well, that's just like Milwaukee and the Sixth Street Viaduct where Father Grappa used to march. Also a racially divided city. I do want to mention, before I pull John in, he's already on the air, and I'll let Don and John say things too, obviously. I want to ask you, did Michael Brown deserve to die? I want to hear it from your mouth, Bianchi.
When people do things,
yes or no,
that where the consequences result into that type of action, then yes, you're going to die. If the consequences deserve the results in that type of action, yes, the outcome is going to be very bad.
But the worst place.
Okay, well, he was an 18-year-old kid who's worked as. Go ahead, John. He worked his ass off to graduate. He had just graduated with little chance of graduating, I might add.
The worst place in the country for police is the worst police in the country are right in St. Louis. East St. Louis is the worst city, the most desperate in the country. But these people are pigs. Anybody who lives in that St. Louis area deserves to, they're going down in flames because...
John, I muted you. You were raffling papers.
I go down to St. Louis with my wife. We're just driving, and we get pulled over by a pig. And he's like, you better get out of here. We didn't do anything. And he's like, you better get out of here, fuck oh God. And he said it so meanly, like he was on drugs or something.
Don, now that you call cops pigs, I'm probably not going to be able to air the show on YouTube.
Okay, then you can just edit that out.
We're not in the 70s. I haven't heard anyone call a cop a pig since 1975.
Well, I'm a cop kid, I say that only specifically towards the St. Louis Police Department, you know, because they are pigs. They are terrible people who don't have respect for the people who pay their salaries. And it's really
John, horrible. You're on the air. Don't make noise.
Like I said, you know, St. Louis is the worst place in the country when it comes down to police illegal activities. Anybody, I would suggest moving.
I'm pretty sure Chicago is a runner-up.
Chicago's very
St. Louis
bad.
Got a good police department.
No, they don't.
And
they
Ferguson
come
and St.
On,
Louis
Beyonce.
Ferguson and St. Louis is two different places.
Well, they just got.
I know, one's
Wilson
a suburb, right?
Wilson got a job in the suburbs. What, a year and
Wilson,
a half later?
Wilson worked at Jennings, and then he went to Ferguson, yes.
And he was he had a bad rap at Jennings.
He
had a bad rap at Jennings.
Right. And then he worked somewhere else. I forgot the other suburb nearby. Afterwards.
You know, the people in Ferguson wanted tough policing. They had property values to think of. Well, you know, let me tell you something. What's your name? John?
Wait, John. Don't talk over each other, you guys.
What's his name,
please?
John?
John,
what is his name,
John?
John
is talking to you. John is on the air, but he hasn't said anything yet.
What's the guy that's talking? That was talking.
I'm Don.
Don with
all right,
a D.
Don. Don, let me say this. I live in the damn area. Okay.
Move to someplace else. You know.
I live in the area. I know that area very, very well.
I'm sorry.
And I know where the problems come from. You got people in those areas that prey on blacks. Whereas
yes,
they, you know, elderly
crime.
Couples can't come out after eating dinner and walk around the block for a word about
yeah.
getting trash. The school system, Ferguson, Florida, used to be Ferguson, used to be Florida. They combined together. School district is terrible.
And
I knew the superintendent at the school. The superintendent at Ferguson, Florida, came out of Kansas City, Missouri school district.
And that's terrible. And I've been proposing everyone who lives there to move.
They
move,
did move there.
Move.
I have a nephew that lives right behind the Quick Trip that burnt up, and he moved out to Wentzville. Wentzville is west of St. Louis across the Missouri River. It's in St. Charles County, which is about 95% white. And in St. Charles and St. Peter's, then Wentzville, all the police is white. So he surely was not moving from white police officers.
But no, you're not moving from white police officers. You're moving from a general culture that is a proponent of being in a ghetto, being in jail all where you live. Just like you just said, you live there, you can't even get the fuck out to eat, to take a walk after dinner.
I didn't live in Ferguson. I said I lived in the area. We lived, my daughter
lives
over in Belle Fountain.
I think he lives in the city proper, Don.
I don't live in
St.
Louis City. I live in North County.
Okay.
And made a mistake of designing a house in the area that, you know, the idiots that's in there, it just don't tore up everything. Nobody wants to live around that.
If you listen to Larry Ellison, his primary message is that the nuclear family is to blame. And anybody who lives in the St. Louis area, the general area, do you know who Larry Ellison even is?
Where does he live at?
He lives in...
Well, is he like an online resource of some sort? Because a lot of old cities have gentrified and they've revitalized their downtown areas.
Larry Ellison can't tell me jack about where I live. He don't know. I know the history of it, lived there, grew up there, and everything else.
Well, he said the main message is that the nuclear family is flawed, decayed, and possibly irreparable, irreparably damaged. That is his main message.
Are you going you're saying the exact opposite of what a Christian preacher would say, that the nuclear family has been dying off in the last 50 years because of all the morphed out family values. By the way, I have to make an announcement. John is on the air, and Pianki, I have a friend in Kirkwood, Missouri, just probably like 10 to 20 miles southwest
My wife, auntie, stayed in Meacham Park. They're on Chicago Boulevard, on Chicago Avenue.
Okay, well, I've been to St. Louis twice in the last 10 years to see her. She's a friend from college. She's been down there 25 to 40 years now, probably since 1982. But anyways, John, we will let you talk, even though you're the Latino minority tonight.
My grandson used to play baseball. His team played baseball there at Forestwood Park. Oh, I guess about a half mile.
He doesn't live that far from the Budweiser tour site where you can go tour the Budweiser factory or plant or whatever.
Well, that's downtown St. Louis in Soulark. That's in Soulark. That's a long way from Kirkwood.
She drove me there. I got mixed up.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I've done a lot of projects.
It was a park.
I've done a lot of building. I've done a lot of building within that complex there in Anheuser-Busch.
It wasn't a factory. It was a Budweiser park, like where it was. I can't really explain it.
You went to Grants Park. Grant Park
is out.
Yeah,
that's where I went.
Grant Park is out on Manchester Road.
Yeah, I'll ask her when I email her next. So, John, what do you make
exactly
of all this
Grant.
Conversation? Now, John is traditionally a defender of police, but the police chief who was running the department in Ferguson had corruption, and so was the DA. Now, the Michael Brown family eventually won $1.5 million. I think their lawyer's name was Benjamin Crump. He spoke at their funeral. I don't consider $1.5 million that much compared to what other families have won. John, what's your take on this?
Well, from what I had heard, I thought like all the fans that go to the St. Louis Cardinals games were like these white cracker people, you know. I didn't know that it's all black.
St. Louis is heavily black.
The ballpark, Busch Stadium is in downtown St. Louis. It's not out there in Busch's Garden.
Right.
Which she was
right
talking about.
Downtown. Right.
What's the difference, John? All the white crackers go to the Viking Stadium, too, and we have tons of Africans in Minneapolis.
Well, just from the conversations, it sounds like everyone in St. Louis is black, but just every baseball game because I follow baseball, and the whole thing about St. Louis is when teams would go there, they just talk about it's just a bunch of white people, and all they care about, their religion is like the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, like, they're very avid fans compared to others. So I didn't know half the ballpark was black, but maybe they can't afford
Blacks don't go to the ball games like that.
Ah,
you have a lot of people when you have a game between the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals, a lot of people come out of Illinois, out of Chicagoland, to come to watch the games.
Good point.
Pianki, I just wanted to ask you a question. Do you believe that the police were created to keep black slaves on the plantation.
Navajo Indians made more money, got rich off of slave catching. It only makes sense.
Did you guys
because
know
if you know,
19... Okay, go ahead.
It only makes sense. They know the land, right?
Who does?
Up until the 1940s or 50s, there a lot of parts of America didn't have police departments.
What?
They had constables. And in the South, they had slave catchers, which is like, it was kind of like a loose confederated society of people that caught slaves.
The first slave catchers.
I don't know how to describe
that, that had done very monetary well with Indian tribes.
Now, do you, yeah, because the blacks could go there to try to get refuge, but they would trade them in
Indians,
like the
Indians had slaves also. Matter of fact, in the Emancipation Proclamation did not cover them because they were a separate nation. 1866, started in April of 1866, they began to release their property because the United States government agreed to pay for it. Paid them
What's
for
that got to do with
through
my
a process
question?
Called through
What's
due process.
Do you believe the police were started to?
I told you no.
Okay.
We are talking about a modern day incident, and I do appreciate Pianke's resources for living in that area. But my general consensus, even if I was a cop, and if those two young adults are being unruly, I still believe it wasn't enough to kill him. By the time he got around to killing him,
yeah.
He was going the other way. He could have just let him go, or he could have waited till he handled the emergency and come back and arrested him. He didn't have to kill Michael Brown.
When you try to take a police officer's gun and a shot go off, you have committed a crime against the state of Missouri.
But there's no.
Correct.
Darren Wilson made no police report the day of the incident. He came up with other bullshit later. So we don't know if that ever happened,
I
hate to tell you.
That has to be a procedure in the department itself.
Right.
And okay, well, what we really would have to do to make this show successful is go through the United States Justice Report because they made a special report.
I personally knew Mike Brown's dad. His mother, Leslie McFadden, I partially know her. I think she knew my daughter, but I'm not sure. She ran for city council, by the way, and people didn't come out and vote for her. She
did?
Lost. Yes, she did. She wrote a book. The name of her book is Tell the Truth and Shame the Devil.
That pretty much lays it down. It's just I'm a mother. Even if I was a mother of a white kid, my kid's half Liberian and 6'3", and they wouldn't even let the mother go in the street to touch the body or hug it after 4 hours, I think I would lose, personally, I would lose my mind. But I would never let my kid go. Well, I shouldn't say I wouldn't let him go near St. Louis, but I believe my son is at risk every day living in America.
I don't.
He is in the army on an isolated base.
I never felt that way.
I would never let anybody get near St. Louis, ever.
I never felt that way. I lived in St. Louis, not St. Louis proper, but in the area, worked in the area, built buildings in the area. I never had no problems. Of course, in some areas you had your thieves who would steal off your construction site.
Well, tell me about just a snippet of your life. Have you ever belonged to any cultural organizations? Or I think I Googled you and you used to be a teacher.
I never
right?
was a teacher. I was a structure stealer right
well,
there.
There was an article with your name saying that you did something special in the classroom. Maybe it was a different person.
Well, I went in classrooms and worked with students, especially in the Normandy School District. with the National Society of Black Engineers.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Okay, I shouldn't have said that because I'm not going to prejudice the whole city.
National Society of Black Engineers.
Up here.
The Black, what was that?
I think, you know, I think there's only certain parts of America where it's dangerous to be black. But the incidents that occur on an everyday basis, like a teacher Don, let me finish for God's sakes.
You've been doing nothing but talking.
Like, let's say you're in a classroom and there's an A student. Like, I live up here in the Northland. It's 90% Scandinavian. We have blacks. We have Asians, but not a lot. We only have maybe 20 Latinos up here. But there's subtle racism, too, where a teacher's going to pick somebody over the other because of their skin color. But that's... Everybody's biased in a certain way. I'm not afraid for my son to live in America. I take that back. I've driven through the south side of Chicago. One of my best friends lived less than a mile from the Watts Tower, and I've spent the night at her house. I've never been afraid, so why should I make my son, why should I enforce that fear on my son? I shouldn't never tell him not to. You know, whether he should be afraid. He should just be gutsy like me.
I have aunties that live off of 39th and Prairie in Chicago. You should go there and play in the summertime with them. Right there at Wendell D. Phillips High School. They had no problem.
I know where that is. I have friends in all parts of Chicago. And I was there for New Year's where the guns go off every 5 seconds. For the
but
New Year's celebration.
Louis, in St. Louis, the people don't have no fear of the police. They have fear of the criminals. Just like you had here downtown, you had some black males around 18th and Washington, 20th and Washington, walking down Washington Avenue with their rifles and shooting at each other. And people going to complain about Kyle Rittenhouse. And I'm bet to say that they all didn't live in St. Louis because they probably walked across the Martin Luther King Bridge just east of there at the river coming out of Illinois, maybe.
We've actually done a lot of shows on Chicago and at least 3 shows on Kyle Rittenhouse. And there was – it's on YouTube, our show. There was a secret police building in Chicago where they would – arrest people and take them to this building and hold them there for 3 or 4 days without charging them. And the episode's on our YouTube channel. I have to look up the name of it. I don't remember. But I used to live in North Chicago when I was a Navy wife. It is a tough city to live in.
Well, you know, in Chicago right now, since Memorial Day of 2022 up until probably October the 20th, and I think it's late. As a matter of fact, I think it's October the 28th. I can tell you exactly. It's October the 31st. You've had the number of kills in that city, the number of shot in that city. Now, these are just blacks. Now, you do have stuff going over in the little village where the Latinos live, but you don't have 1,917 blacks shot by other blacks in 149 days. And 264 murders in that little short period of time.
There was 149 in a certain amount of days.
You've had 100 in 149 days. You've had 1,917 blacks shot by other blacks through October the 31st with 264 murders. The year before that, running from Memorial Day to Memorial Day, you had 4,666 blacks shot, 643 murdered. The year before that, in 2020, you had 4,845 shot with 745 murdered. No white police shot nobody.
Well, that's true. That stuff's been going on since the 90s. There was one year in Minneapolis, I think it was around 99 or 2000, it was called Murderopolis. Because we were fourth or fifth in the nation with murders.
United States ranked third in the world in murders. If you remove five cities, that being Detroit, Chicago, Philadelphia, the five Democratic-held city, black populace, they would rank 189 out of 193. So you got a problem.
Well,
problems going on in these communities.
Well, we have to look at the symptoms. People, it translates to people not having hope. And John's mentioned this on the show, too. They don't have hope. They have ready access guns. They're shooting to get their instant needs met or to attack somebody. We have to look at the reason why they're wanting to kill so many.
Well, whatever the reason is,
Jesus,
and then you live
right.
in a state, you live in a
Give
state
a
that wants to keep you from having weapons, make it difficult, restrict you, go completely out of the way to keep you from having weapons. To do a concealed carry cast in Illinois, you have to do 16 hours. In Missouri, you only do 8 hours, which includes,
Why
you know, all the aspects of it.
We're the only, there are only three countries in the whole wide world that allow people to have weapons.
What does it got to do with it? The weapons don't kill nobody.
Our gun laws are the cause of a lot of crap.
Gun laws, guns don't kill anybody. I've got my grandfather's guns.
The detention center in Chicago is called Holman Square, where cops arrested and held people for days on end without releasing them. H-O-M-A-N. We did a huge show on it.
You know, I couldn't tell you about
John,
that.
John, are you
going
to be jumping in, or are you driving your van somewhere from Bel Air to Santa Monica?
Well, you know, they don't have this problem in China or North Korea. People don't have guns, and they do exactly what the government tells them. I want a society where people can defend themselves against their government. So that's the risk. The big problem is the way you're raised. I wasn't raised to run around with guns and start, you know, disrespecting police. I grew up respecting and being orderly, and I've been pulled over hundreds of times. You know, we've talked about this because I rode a bicycle at night for 10 years, and I also had Camaros and Mustangs, and I was a musician, always doing late gigs. I get pulled over all the time. And I could have given attitude and had a big problem, but I didn't. I just shut my mouth, tried to make the police officer feel safe, because they don't feel safe. They don't know if I have a gun. They don't know if I'm a drug addict. They don't know if I'm a murderer. They don't know if I'm just a church kid coming home from a service. So I'll give them a break on that. Now, you know, other people are saying, well, we have the right to be respected. That's fine. That's fine. But the thing is, I haven't had any problems. I was raised to work with this. I think it's a spiritual issue. I think kids growing up, they're listening to rap music, and you'll just listen to those lyrics. Play some, turn on, and get, Don, I can tell you, just for the next week, listen to rap music every day for 8 hours, and listen to the lyrics and what they're being told. And then, of course, you're going to want to shoot it up because you think you're a gangster against the whole world and the world's against you.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It's programming.
Oh, but what is, who got to do with
and
that? When I was a kid, I used to walk to school.
I don't even like rap
stop.
Music except for
I used to
few.
Walk to the bus stop, get this, with my .22 carbine bolt-action rifle over my shoulder on a shoulder strap, get on the bus, get on another bus and go to Old Fallon Tech High School because we had rifle practice after school. Nobody bothered me. No white police bothered me.
That's because you were a kid. Tamir Rice is the worst situation I've ever seen. Of all of this, Michael Brown and Tamir George Floyd.
The worst
case
I ever seen was Legend, who's sleeping in his bed and gets shot by some fool. The worst case I ever seen with my wife's sister, granddaughter, who has her crazy ass brother walk all the way from Walnut Park over to around Newstead and Pope Avenue, stands outside of her house and fires rifle shots through it because he's got a beef with the girl.
Damn. Yeah, well, that's bad too. But they should.
Lucky I wasn't there.
Well, I can guarantee you, if all of you had Michael Brown or any of these guys living at your house, they're coming in at 1 a.m, running with their hood, you know, with their homies, you would have a problem. You'd say, son, you got to get in on time and listen to my rules. And they would be like, you know, screw
exactly
you, old man.
What do you think about Larry Ellison's critique about the black families? Just the nuclear family breakdown in general. Bianchi says, I don't know what he said. I have no
clue. But the thing is who's when I on every household
I'm looking
in my box had a wife and a husband except for one. Her name was Bernadette. And when the postman came there, he seemingly went inside the house and stayed a little bit. But what I'm saying is that ain't white folks' fault.
Well, the bottom line is that we've got to figure out who we are as a human race in America. It's, you know, it's affecting the whole world. We're the strongest country in the world. We are not only the watchdogs, but we're the idols of the entire world. And they're seeing us looking like fools because we let everybody run around like heathens, bohemians. They're just naked, yelling nothing in the air, you know, with their guns and saying that the property is theirs. The property is God's property. It's not their property. It's not my property. You know, so
the creator of God gave every human right, every human life, the right to protect itself.
Right, but that doesn't mean the earth is part of God's world.
Lions in Africa and wildebeest have a means of protecting themselves. Seals.
Well,
I do think there's too many guns on the planet.
That's
no, it's not too many guns on the planet. Well, guns don't kill nobody. It's people.
My God. And the people are
some people have 5 to 10 guns in their gun cabinet. What's the point?
There's nothing
hunkers.
Wrong with that. It's a collection. How many pairs of shoes you got in the house?
What the
I have about 9 pairs of running shoes because I used to be a runner.
All right,
what's
then. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
What's the solution?
Some people were... I think that, matter of fact, I tell women they should wear their guns on their hips.
They have, oh, my God. They can wear their guns anywhere. Just don't shoot people. You know,
they do in Israel. The grandmothers walk around with those with those semi-automatics at the airport. True.
They do in Texas.
Yes, it is. It's true.
You got 5 cities in the United States where the city ordinance require households to have guns. You got Kennesaw, Georgia, which is about 70 miles outside of Atlanta. You got Nelson, Georgia. You got Gun Barrel City, Texas. You got Cuda, Colorado. And the other one, I just can't think of the name.
People shouldn't be forced to ever own a gun.
They don't lock you up. The ordinance say have a gun. The same way it is in Switzerland. Everyone in Switzerland are required to be able to use the latest style of weapon and be able to use it proficiently.
And that's because Switzerland, everybody has to be a member of the militia.
That's the same thing in the United States. The militia is the people.
Well, if you want to use the same reasoning, just outlaw all black men, and then they won't be able to use the gun.
That's exactly what's happening. That's what's happening.
John, that's
well, you
ridiculous.
Know, I tell you what, you know, we have to admit it. these are black males that's causing these problems in these cities. It ain't white males. You got whites being shot dead.
What made them like that?
It's not what made them like that.
What devolution occurred over decade after decade of struggle and poverty that caused them to be in this boat? I could say the same thing about people becoming gay or lesbian, that they didn't have Christian upbringing, they didn't have Christian parents, and now they're just deciding to become gay because they don't know any better.
Well, look, they're being programmed, though, every day to act a certain way. You're a victim, everyone's against you, white people, the white cop's going to kill you. I mean, does a white cop get up and say, I'm going to go out today, I'm going to shoot some black and some Mexicans, because that way I can get her, you know, suspended, and I'll be reviewed, and have my name in the newspaper, and have a lawsuit? No one wants that. They want to just do their job, and if someone looks suspicious, like, hey, don't do something bad. And then people look suspicious, they follow them, and then people don't comply. And so then you have a split second to decide. Someone's coming at you. Do you pull your gun and fire? You can't say, well, let me think about it, because you get tackled or you get killed. So it's, I don't know. I just
all
think
black kids is not in that category. Matter of fact, they get preyed on. You don't see the thing, you don't realize blacks flee these areas also. Blacks have fled North Shore Drive there in Chicago. Look at the stats. They flee all the time. They flee St. Louis. They flee Ferguson. Right now, I tell you what, right now in the St. Louis area, the city of Florissant has become number 7 when it comes down to black elite areas. Florissant, you get 58% black. The average household income is $109,000. So they have fled
there.
That's
how in Minneapolis there's a lot of upscale, regentrified areas that people are paying high buck to live in the heart of Minneapolis.
You got places like Cedar Hill, Texas, that's 52% black. Randalltown, Maryland, 81% black. Stone Mountain, Georgia, I know where that is. Like I said, Florissant, you got Bloomfield down. You got Cambridge Heights, New York, 93% black. They don't have these problems. Olympia Field, Illinois, 70% black. Washington, D.C., well, they have all kind of problems there. In Baldwin Hills, California, 76% black. Average income is $152,000 a year.
Well, maybe we're just like the Ferguson police chief. We're only pointing out the result of the symptoms. That cop in Ferguson, all he talked about was this Michael Brown store surveillance. He was deflecting from the actual murder of Darren Wilson to him, and now all we're talking about is blacks killing people. We're not talking about how white men mistreat their wives or how white males are dominant over women in society. We're not talking about any other problems in any other race.
No, we don't even talk about how black males treat their wives, how black males treat their girlfriends, because you know what the marriage is. Hey, his cousin... His cousin's wife was killed when her husband came to work, and she worked out there in St. Louis, he killed her, went to the job and killed her. So it happens there at Penrose Park. A guy came, the mother had the kids at the baseball game, and he drives up, comes up and kills her. So it goes on.
John and I worked at an office supply company, and there was a guy there who was sent to prison for murdering his girlfriend or wife. John, we shouldn't say the name of the business.
The schools are
right,
terrible.
John?
It's true. He was very jealous.
He was black, but white men kill their wives too.
Yeah, he was a mellow guy. He was diabetic. And he told his wife, he was very jealous. He said, if you ever cheat on me, you know, I'll kill you. And they had a baby, a child about a year old. And one day he came home from work. He thought that she was cheating on him. And he locked the door in the bedroom and came in there with a knife and just stabbed her to death with the baby in the other room. And, you know, like, my goodness. It was really shocking because he seemed like a laid-back fellow, but apparently he was not. But
so that's the thing.
Are you?
Those human beings. Human beings do things.
Are you canning fruit, John? Because you're still making noise.
Oh, I'll hit mute.
No, you don't. Well, you hit mute when you don't want to talk. But it sounds like you were doing something. I just think that we live in a society where people are impulsive and they don't have control of their emotions. Now, on an everyday basis, I can handle a lot of stress. I can handle inordinate amounts of stress. But this inappropriate woman from Chicago last night verbally attacked me at work for answering the nurse phone because somebody called in sick. She screamed at me. She, not name call, but she put me down, and I had a reporter today. It was an event that should never have happened. All I did is answer the phone because she wasn't present, and nobody else was, and I had to find out who was calling in sick. People are crazy nowadays. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some of them don't even act like they're from the planet.
True, but Jay,
right, like
you
she,
also don't.
She didn't. She told me I was being insubordinate for answering the phone. She's only been there 2 months. She barely knows her job, and she was supposed to have the phone in her hand when that person called in sick. It was nowhere near her. And then I was trying to explain to her there's a form you have to fill out when people call in sick. She didn't believe me. She didn't believe a word I said, and she verbally attacked me again in front of another employee. Well, later on she got in trouble, but I haven't heard the final result yet, what's going to happen to her. But I deal with
in the country,
at least one unruly coworker per month. There's usually
the country
one
promotes
person who
that
goes
kind
off or goes crazy.
Yeah, the country promotes
especially
that type of activity, too.
Especially in the nursing home job where... Yeah, in the nursing home, it's worse because we have so many call-ins and unreliable employees that people are constantly stressed.
The Supreme Court is hearing
affirmative. The difference is you don't play 8 hours of video games blowing up things and killing and destroying. And, you know, most of these males, they grow up with that. You don't look at rap videos where pimps are standing in front of their nice, you know, car with their little prostitute girlfriend and running drugs and with their gold chains. You know, you don't program your mind that way. So your response isn't going to be violent. Most of the violent crime are the males. And this is the stuff they listen to.
By the way, John, there's only one ghetto convenience store in Duluth. And my friend Steve, his ex-girlfriend, works there, and she saw someone throw a girl into the trunk and telling her they were sex trafficking her. And he was belittling this woman that he threw in the trunk and said, you know, you're going to listen to me or else. And this happened less than a mile from my house. So you're right. I don't deal with that type of element on a daily basis.
And women in general don't do the violent crimes. You know, the majority of that is going to be male. And the majority of that, well, the majority is actually white, but there's far more white people. The highest percentage within a male population is the black culture. So it's maybe 13% of the population, but about 33% of the crime. So, yeah, it's 70% of the crime is still non-black. As far as violent crimes, murders, and things like that. It's just a lower percentage in the population.
But I do, guys, think you guys are missing the big picture, meaning that, you know, there is such a thing as white privilege, and I would have never had a risk in my life. I could have I could have probably had 20 grand in the bank by the time I was 25 if I had just stayed in White Bear Lake, Minnesota. And I had a rich family, and my dad saved over $800,000 in his life, not counting stocks. So I never would have had to risk myself by, like, becoming a black public housing manager or allowing myself to get pregnant and being a single parent and having to go on welfare for the first time at 37. So a lot of people, they grew up in the system. Two people I work with at work are, they're both black. They're both from Chicago. They had five kids before they even thought about making a career move. Now one of them's going into nursing. So, you know, like a lot of us didn't grow up with that disadvantage of being poor your whole life.
Well, blacks have privilege, well, too.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
kind of privilege?
What do you mean, what kind of privilege? Name
your
privilege. Name a privilege that whites have, and I'll tell you the privilege that blacks have.
Well, some blacks complain to me that I have the privilege being white of having generational wealth as an American, but it's not true because my grandma came from Helsinki and my dad his parents came from Sweden, so I'm only second or third generation. So they would say, like, let's say I lived in Concord, New Hampshire, and I'm five generation white. They would say that I had stability.
Well, so you got black communities that have stability too. Look at the African families that come here. They got stability. Nigerians have a higher household income than whites do, and Asians. You got there
well,
in
all
Jamaica,
my African
Queens.
Friends up here work three jobs. They don't have savings, but they have a high income because they've invested in their homes and other
I
things.
I know people that work
education.
A third job to put their kid in private school, not send them to public school. That's what you call functionality. In Jamaica, Queens, the Jamaican Americans there have a higher household income than whites in that area.
I'll just talk about my own Liberian family. The grandma came here in 89 with six kids. She ended up owning two houses. She just sold one in North Minneapolis and now lives in St. Cloud. She's done better than me. Her daughter and her husband now run a group home. They manage it. They both left their career jobs to run it. They're doing very well, and they're making a lot of money. The other one married a German guy, and he runs his own company, and they're doing very well. They live in a four-story house. So, you know, like, I do know successful people of the black race, but they're all African descent. They were not born in America.
They
the only one
who failed
was my son's dad, and now he's dead.
The problem, though, that you're saying, when you say white privilege, you're saying, well, because I'm white, they're going to give me a great job. They're going to give me a house on the west side. They're going to give me a six figures in my bank account. They're going to make me manager of the company just because I'm white. It doesn't work that way. Maybe whites have made good decisions. Maybe Asians have made good decisions. Maybe blacks have made some bad decisions. It doesn't, just because you're black or white, it doesn't matter. If I speed, I get a ticket. The cop doesn't go, well, you're Hispanic. He goes, no, you broke the law. So I think you've got to really, when people say white privilege, it's like, no, maybe good decisions. And is there favoritism? Sure, there's favoritism. When you go into a black club, when you go into a black establishment, when you go into a Latin or Hispanic neighborhood, sure, there's favoritism, but the point is, bad decisions give you bad results. It's not white, not because you're white. No one gives you stuff just because you're white, unless you're like
you got
very
a group
rich.
You got a group of blacks in Minnesota called the African Development Center. They put together a institution. They have their own bank. They got a Sharia bank. They provide interest-free loans for their members, business loans, interest for their members. Why do they do so well? You know, Minnesota was an experiment. Minnesota, Shakers County, Ohio, there was an experiment of trying to integrate blacks and whites together forcefully.
Don, did you drop off the radar? Could you repeat that last comment, Pianchi? I lost my train of thought.
I'm just leaving. Shaker Heights and Minneapolis have the biggest.
Shaker Heights is in Ohio, so you lost.
Yeah, and what were you saying about it?
Experiments. Those are liberal experiments, social type experiments, where you're going to insert one group into the other, and I guess to see how they were going to perform. Same thing with busing was.
Right.
Alta Dina in California is a rich black community, and I've been to parties up there with Magic Johnson's friends in the late 80s. They were a product of basketball success. That was before I met you, Don.
You've been wrong about the Tulsa. The Tulsa riots was the biggest massacre in New York history. Anyway, yeah, no, that's why I left Los Angeles, because I used to party up in Hollywood Hills and Malibu and every place else, And I didn't know that I was dealing with the Hollywood crowd, so I had to leave. But, you know, the fact is, I mean, going back to day one, if you want to see the problems, you have to look at the situation. In the case of black men especially, look at the situation, look in the mirror, and see just exactly who we are, because we are the superior race. We are God's people.
Okay, Don.
Okay, and you stop me.
In my Christian point of view, nobody's superior. We're all talented, humble beings of God who God gives
that,
to that we can utilize. Nobody's superior.
We just spent an hour and a half talking about this fucking shit, this old-ass news. We just spent an hour and a half
I know what Pianchi would say to you, Don. He would say, if the black race is superior, then why are so many of them killing each other?
We're not killing each other.
That's why they're superior. What they do, they go through a process of nutrition. They get rid of the bad elements in their population. That's what they do.
They're purging them.
That's right.
Every population does that.
Well, in Duluth, they just die of drugs. The white people and the natives.
And who's bringing
them? They just die of drugs.
Who's bringing
There's no
drugs.
Glamorous death up here.
It ain't no black people. Ain't no motherfucking black people bringing the drugs into Duluth, fool. So we've got.
Well,
it's
not,
I'm not
well,
talking
not
about
true.
Black people. I'm talking about other races whose bad elements die off. They die of drugs because they're dumbasses.
Right. The cops have only killed 21 black people in the last 2 years, since 2020. So, you know, there's that. Black people are killing black people, yes. White people kill white people, yes. So what, you know, Hispanics keep killing
30% of white females raped, the attacker is a black male, yes.
Right, and that's...
Wait, what?
That's reparations. That's reparations.
So I can't get, if I can't get a booty call, I got to rape somebody?
Yeah. Well, no, you can get booty
okay.
call, but you
we
can
have to change the...
You can also rape people.
Let's change the direction of this show before it gets convoluted.
Thank you. Jesus, frickin'
okay.
Christ.
Does anyone know what time it is?
It's 9 o'clock.
11:30.
Okay, we've been
11,
on the air.
11:25. You got,
okay, we've been on the air. Are you serious?
35 minutes.
We've been on the air 90 minutes. And, we've discussed a lot of things we've discussed on a lot of shows, but and some 90% of it was relevant. And we've all had different experiences, including John, who's talked a lot about his obedience when a police stops him, even when he hasn't done anything wrong. So I do think I have worked in a treatment center up here, and I'll just relay this quick before I go to my conclusion. I've worked for treatment centers up here. I'm baffled, even though I lived in one of the coldest climates in the country, I'm baffled on how many people have drug dependency up here, and they choose drugs as part of their everyday living. And it's really, I'm not upset about it. I'm just baffled that so many people have chosen that path. And it's my understanding on some reservations, it's an everyday thing. It's like popping vitamins. Having drugs up here is like popping vitamins. So I don't know if it's the weather or the culture or what, but people cannot cope in Duluth, Minnesota.
Well,
okay, who wants to go? That's my conclusion, though, with Michael Brown is that I don't think he deserved to die. I think the elements of Ferguson and the police perception was that he was potentially dangerous, and the cop took the easy way out by shooting him. I think it could have been handled a different way.
So if he takes the police down, what was he going to do? Say, oh, man,
I
just, man,
here's
your
gun
back.
There's nothing in the documentary that says that he did that. See, back, there's only one big difference between Ferguson and George Floyd. With George Floyd, there's video. With Ferguson, there's only different people reciting facts.
You had some men working in a sewer. You had some men working in a sewer down there on West Florissant Avenue.
Canfield? Yes.
Yeah, on Canfield. Yes. And what
did they
say?
Well, they also had other construction workers that saw the cops approaching.
There was no construction.
Him from
there was no construction.
And shooting
there was
him.
No construction. There was no construction going on that area. Other than those guys that was cleaning out a sewer.
Okay, well, I want you guys I don't want to talk about racism problems on every show, but if someone could take a look at that Stranger Fruit documentary that I prepared for the show, that would be cool. I know John has some limitations, because he has no time hardly ever. And I'm just going to go in a circle, and we're all going to do our conclusions. We've already been on the air 90 minutes. So who wants to go first? I already did my turn.
Well, he made mention about drugs. Some of the biggest drug deals in this country were black. You got Frank Matthews, Kevin Childs out of Detroit. You got Frank Lucas. You got Leslie Chambers. You got Frank Pee Wee
Matthews.
But how
about nowadays it's the Mexicans who are disguising the pills as multicolored things for that fentanyl that's killed over... I know it killed 1,200 people in Minnesota. I don't know how many nationwide. So what you hear in the news nowadays is the biggest drug distributors are out of Mexico.
Well, I don't know. I don't keep up with them.
Neither do I. But I did post on Facebook. I wrote an article about Tamir Rice and Michael Brown.
Tamir Rice killing was tragic. That cop should not have even been on the force, listening to the chief of the force where he came from. He shouldn't have been on the force.
Well, Pianke, you know your email that I needed permission to send you something? I will send you my Twitter link because I do post a lot of radio show stuff on there. And I posted a couple of my articles I wrote in the mid-20-teens about Tamir Rice and other stuff. But, Don, what's your conclusion? And by the way, Don, there's a new rule on the show. You can no longer say we don't all know what we're talking about.
All right. My conclusion is that you don't all know what you're talking about. That's my conclusion. Bianchi, I do not
understand. Don't get you in the wrong direction now. Now make a legitimate conclusion.
Okay, I don't understand black people who do not like themselves. And this is apparently a part of what this situation is. We are wonderful people. We are loving. We don't believe in violence under normal circumstances. And we believe in
agreed.
Love. And, you know, the joke that remember from Richard Pryor that he's always, if there's a group of whites and a group of blacks on each corner, they'd rather walk with a group of blacks because the whites are much more terrorist-oriented than blacks are. The violence in our country stems from the directly from the desire to control, and that is something that I often mention. I have never heard a black person say, "I want to rule the world," and I hear white people say it all
well,
the time.
Well, you just don't hear it here in this country. There have been black groups that say they want to rule the world.
No.
Idi
Amin never said he wanted to rule the dinner table. He didn't care about the damn world.
People with black skin in ancient times.
I think you want to rule the world, Don.
No, I don't. I don't. I'm just like all major black families. We just want to rule our family. When I say that,
and some people don't do a good job at that.
And that's what I've been asking the whole damn show. What in the world?
So whose fault is that?
I mentioned the family, the nuclear family. That's the problem. The parents.
Well, some
the grandparents. The great grandparents.
You can't have grandparents that's 35 years old, man.
I know, and that's what we have all over.
Don, in your family, Pat rules. I hate to tell you.
There's no.
Well, okay, I'm gonna ask everybody. Whose responsibility? Whose responsibility to straighten that out? It ain't my responsibility.
That's it is. Oh, absolutely.
No, it is not. My responsibility is to my own siblings.
That's what I've been saying.
Okay, in a nuclear family.
Oh my God.
The husband is the head of the household, but if he's a crappy husband, then it's going to go downhill.
But then,
and before that woman married that husband, the family should have done background checks on that potential husband. Why would you let your daughter marry a bum and vice versa?
Right. Black people were not allowed to read until 60 years ago. We were killed.
Black people have been reading. Black people have been reading since the conception of the country. Get out of here with that stuff. 60 years ago is what?
No, they haven't. That's what.
60 years ago is what? The 1960s?
Not until the.
Only in some parts of the country, Don. In St. Paul, Minnesota.
How did they produce
they
all
reading?
Those black scientists that participated in the Manhattan Project if they wasn't allowed to read and go to school?
The black women who participated in that other movie that they featured?
They were black female
mathematicians.
My black family, my ancestors were law enforcement and professors at colleges. I understand it. I'm trying to ask why in the world nobody else can follow the American way who's black.
I think some of these people are cursed.
If they learned to read, they
were killed. I think some of these people was cursed. They were not. I think some of them cursed, really.
That's some voodoo shit.
Well, you want to hear the strange thing? Now that the internet's been invented, half the kids don't even care about traditional school after 10th grade.
Exactly.
And they don't even want to read a book. They wouldn't
well,
have.
Well, whose responsibility is it, though, man?
They could sit down for 15 minutes to read a
book,
chapter.
That's the family's responsibility.
And my family is extremely successful. And the bottom line is that the parents have to take charge. And I am one of the best fathers in the history of man because my kids learn not only good things from me, from books and personal experience, but bad things from me were then learned immediately not what not to do. I've always been cooperative with the police. I've always been respectful with general.
John, I'm going to have you close the show out. I got to go mop the kitchen now.
Go ahead.
Just pour a bucket
I'm
of pot of water
of my
on the
family.
Floor. Pour a pot of water on the floor and throw some rags
in. I'm in charge
and
of my head
up.
Of the household.
It's you got the.
I'm trying to mop up the mess on the radio show.
You got
24 show.
Minutes.
Okay. John, Bianchi, and Don, you can stop whenever you want. John, by the way, I played Carry On tonight as the intro. All right, I'll see you guys next week. Have a great night, and I'm going to mop the floor like a humble American woman should. Okay,
right,
bye-bye.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Wow.
Anyone still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm getting paid for 2 hours.
Oh, nice. Well, one thing that stands out with all of these cases, about 99-95% of these cases involving police shootings, it's always the same scenario. Police are called because of some problem. They show up. There's a male that's very upset or it won't listen to instructions, resists arrest, attacks, or tries to run from the police. Police give instructions, and then shooting ensues. And the person usually always has warrants or a previous criminal record. So when the police go in, they already know this person's been through the routine. It's something I've told Jane before. If you've already been arrested before, you've gone to jail, you've gone to a judge, you know, you've had a judge warn you, if I see you in here again, you're going to have a problem. Like, I'm going to really lean on you heavy because the first time they're going to work a deal and they'll give you a reduced charge or even they won't even put you in jail or prison. And, you know, but you'll have to be on good behavior. And I know because I have family that they've gone through this whole situation. There are minorities. The point is they're not strangers to the law. They know a cop's going to show up. They know a cop is going to say, show me your hands. They know this. And one thing I've talked about repeatedly, everyone on the news and in public says the police will kill you. The police are mean. The police are out to get you. And that's what everyone says. Over and over, and the police show up, and then you resist arrest. What are you saying? You're saying, shoot me. I mean, you're saying, I don't care. Because if that's what everyone is saying, and that's what the brothers are saying, and that's what the music is saying, then you would know when the police show up, show your hands, be cool, don't make a scene. I mean, obvious.
Some of these music companies need to be held liable for the information they put out. They do that with product liability. You had a case in Missouri. You had a case in Missouri where a white off-duty firefighter is in a store. A black man is arguing with the clerk, and the clerk is asking him to get out. So the firefighter said, man, why don't you just leave? So he goes and get a gun, going to come back and shoot the firefighter. Him and the firefighter is struggling over the gun. The white firefighter is getting the best of the black man, and his girlfriend comes up and takes the gun and tells the firefighter to let him go. Then next thing you know, she shoots him in the back and kills the firefighter. Now, what's going to happen in that case? The prosecutor charged her, but he let her go. And the man, the black male, was a felon. He shouldn't have even had a gun.
I know whenever I get pulled over by police, or even if it's on my bicycle, and I know because it's a routine, I would be riding bike home on the west side, and it's like 1 or 2 in the morning, and of course, a police officer is driving around bored looking for someone running drugs or going to break into a home. So I fit the profile. I'm this Mexican dude with a beanie on. I look almost like I'm homeless because I've been working the 99 or breaking pallets, and I got a backpack, and so they'll be driving the other way down the Lincoln Boulevard, And I'll look over my shoulder, and sure enough, they'll make a U-turn about a half a block down. It's like, oh, he's going to come follow me. And, you know, I already know what's going on, so I just pull over to the side of the road, get off my bike, put down my backpack, you know, get all my ID ready. It's like, show my hands. Real easy. I don't sit there and go, you have no right to pull me over. You're harassing me because I'm a minority. I don't make a scene. I don't make a big deal. And I put the cop at ease, and after 5 minutes, they're joking with me. We're talking about music, and everything's cool. And the next time, they don't even bother me. But I just know I have friends who throw the attitude, like, you don't have the right. I didn't do anything wrong. You know, you're harassing me. And that's a recipe to get shot. Late at night, you don't show your hands. You make suspicious moves, you walk away, you disregard orders. It's like the playbook. I'm just telling you, all these cases, it's maybe 1 out of 100, yeah, an innocent person gets shot, or a girl, or a baby, or something gets shot. It's
yeah,
terrible.
Police officers are getting shot.
Prosecuted. But I'm just saying that 90% of the time or more, it's the same playbook. You know,
yeah, it
guy
is.
Guy with warrants,
nope.
Guy with a
nobody.
Criminal record. The police are called to establish order so they know going in they already are uptight. And sure enough, you know, the guy's going to resist.
Just like Deontay Wright up there in Minnesota. His license was expired. His mama's car he was driving, their place was expired. He makes an illegal traffic move, and the police come. So the place, it's obvious the place are expired. So they want to know about him. He has warrants out on him. He's told to get out of the car. He walks to the back of the car, like the police said. And then for some reason or another, he realized what's getting ready to happen. So he goes to run back to the car and get in. And going to drive away, which he did, eventually did, and had an accident. And hurt somebody else before he died. He had a long history of problems.
Yeah,
then you want people
that
want to have marches and burn up the city over him.
Right. Personally, I don't care if a person's white, brown, green, purple, whatever. The police are my last line of support. Like, if they're not around, I got the homies, I got street people, I've got crazy people, zombies walking around. I need the police to protect me. So if anyone threatens them, like, that's my bulldog. Like, he's in the yard, and yes, he's going to bark at you, and if you start running, he'll probably try and bite you. I want him to protect me in the yard, because people that are show up shouldn't be out there at night doing crazy stuff. And if they are, they should be cool. So to me, I'm going to give them leeway. And they're going to make some mistakes because they're under a lot of pressure. But the point is, I can't trust the homies to take care of it, or the cartels, or anyone else. And I'm not going to
do
it.
You got these Democratic officials that want to have no cash bail, like in Chicago, even for second-degree murder. Just put them right back out on the streets. You got a black female prosecutor in Chicago, Kim Fox, away with over 25,000 felon cases.
I don't want to drive around and walk the streets late at night with a gun. In fact, there's times I could get a security job, and one of the reasons I haven't is because I'm going to encounter some nut in the middle of the night, and either I'm going to have a gun and be, you know, have to decide whether to use it, or I won't have a gun, and he's got a gun. And that's something to deal with. I want a cop to handle the trash. If people are going to disrespect the cop, I don't want that person in the society, because it's like having your own party. If someone shows up and starts making a scene and bugging people, you throw them out of the party. And, you know, maybe there's some innocent
people. Yeah, but when you throw them out of the
mix.
Party, they come back with a gun and shoot up the party.
Right. So I want some, you know, I want some law and order. And, cops in general, if you're cool with them, they're going to be cool. Not always, but most of the time, they just want to go home alive. So when they show up, that's all they want you to do is just turn it down, you know, just dial it down the attitude.
So the thing is this, and you can't deny it, the vast majority of the crime that's going on in the United States, criminality, shooting, around is done by black males at this point in history. That's a fact. Now, regardless of the reason, I mean, that's just the way it is. And it's not going to stop unless they kill up each other. And it seemed to me that's what's allowed to happen. Look at Chicago. Lori Lightfoot said the police can't give chase on foot. I asked the question, well, what about the police dogs? They can't chase you neither? What they going to do, catch an Uber to catch up with you?
That's true. And also, I mean, going the other way with it, too. I mean, you go to L.A., you got all these gangbangers, gangbanger wannabes, and they're just little hoods. And just
you got
idiots
like Whoopi Goldberg and her rant, and her ridiculous rants, claiming she's quitting Twitter over Elon Musk. Well, then that right there tells you she don't want to be a part of somebody that respect free speech. See, you got these black gatekeepers that has carte blanche over the policies that's directed through blacks. Al Sharpton. You got the Jacksons. Sooner or later, they'll be dead, and I wonder who's going to take their place then. Hopefully nobody. But Al Sharpton don't represent me. Jesse Jackson don't represent me and my family. And the news is always running to them for their advice, their opinion. What about this that's happening to – well, he only represents his own family and his organization, Action Network, Rainbow Push.
Well, they'll probably give it all to AOC and some of these other very liberal people.
They've got elections. You got all this information going out over these black radios saying, go out and vote, go out and vote. Well, what they're doing is telling you to go out and vote Democrat. They're not telling beforehand, informing the people how to do the research on the issues and the candidates. No, they want to vote a certain way. And that's the way it is.
Non-gender specific. The end of white privilege. But like I told Don, the only color that matters is green. If you have money, it doesn't matter. Banks don't care what color you are. Unless it's a rare situation, maybe some community that's exclusively white. But in general, I mean, Kobe Bryant had a place in Newport Beach. You go to any place, Malibu, you go Beverly Hills, it doesn't matter what your color is. If you have green, you're in. And green is all you got to do is work for it, hustle, organize. If you don't have money, you know, put your money together with the family. Yeah, that's what Asians do.
There's a black community near Ferguson called Barrington Down. If I go driving through there and the police look like I don't look like I know where I'm going, and they're going to pull me over. Because it's what their community want. They want tough policing. Joe Biden has no authority. White House has no authority over local police. They have no authority over the Ferguson Police Department. None. But when you make it sound like during election time, elect the Democrat, they're gonna put the police in their place. That's a damn lie.
Right, and the sheriff too is the in each county the sheriff is the final word. So a lot of these times with the COVID, where people had a problem with the mask going into a store or some other local regulation, it doesn't matter what the government says or what the president says. When that sheriff, you ask for the sheriff, they will decide. Just like in the old days, you know, it's like he can deputize, and he has the authority to have law and order in the community. A lot of people don't know that. They think, well, the police is the final authority. Like, no, the sheriff is. and you can appeal to that. And, you know, that's what we need to understand, how our law works.
Well, yeah, the states are the final authority, too. Federal government, the states give the federal government its power, but states don't, the states don't do or act out the powers that they have. A state does not have to do anything a federal government says. They don't. They don't have to do whatever a court says. If it's unconstitutional, the state says it's unconstitutional, we ain't doing it. Federal government has no business controlling land in a state. That's state land. Issuing out leases. That's not your responsibility. That's state's land. Those are state's natural resources that they have a right to exploit if they wish to.
Right. But I think, too, we're running into a situation with the New World Order, with world government. Like just last week in Dubai, the Central Bank of the United Emirates, they announced that they had done over the last few months, they did over $21 million of cashless transactions between Thailand, Hong Kong, China, and the World Bank. And basically, it's central bank digital currency, so it's CBDC. Purpose of the experiment was to show that they can go a cashless world government society, like one currency, not just, you know, American money or British pound or you know, the lira or other things. No, a one world currency. And one of the speakers there, they, once a year in Dubai, they have a government basically get together. And at it, they like a forum or a conference. And one of the speakers there was saying, when we, with this recession, give me the New World Order. Like, they're not just hinting about it. They're just saying it right out, just like the Great Reset. They're just saying, New World Order, let's do it. And every transaction digitally tracked, like no more cash. That's the goal. And they already did the test run. And so this is we're heading towards a, you know, an Antichrist beast system. And to me, that's the bigger threat than black-white issues, because the population is only 13% or so, give or take, African-American. That's it's important, but that's not the 100% of the world government controlling us. Like, it doesn't matter what we decide to do. If world government, world police says, turn in your weapons or inject this into your body, or you can't go to church anymore because the Bible is a toxic, as toxic language, or your kids have to go through their transgender reorientation because they want to at the age of 8. Those are the kind of issues to me that are more pressing.
Well, yes, because that affects, that's some of the issues from the left. And they want to control your kids. They want to control your life. You know, like, for instance, on the Roe versus Wade, nobody's saying, and I'm going to say it like this, nobody's telling black women you can't murder your kids. Go murder each and every last one of them. Heck, you know, murdered over 22 million since Roe versus Wade. That's a whole nation in some parts of the world. If you look at that numbers, it wouldn't be a black person in 15 states today. Every last one would disappear in 15 states. So all we ask is that you follow the state law. We like to have equal application of the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, we love to kill our babies. So.
And see, from a moral standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, karma is going to be a bitch. And thing is, when lightning strike, it don't get, know if you Republican or Democrat, black, it gets you.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the education process. And by that, I mean most people with school and with the entertainment, with the arts, with movies, with music, sex is taught about fulfilling yourself, about having fun, about having pleasure, instead of saying sex is having babies. That's the whole bottom line. Like, if you're messing around, you want to have a baby. And when you get pregnant, you're successful at what you've been doing. And if
mothers have sex with their sons in these communities.
Right. So it's like, do you want to have babies? Do you want to deal with abortion? Don't have sex. You know, figure something out, work something out. But the point is, if you're having sex, you're at risk to have a baby. Even if you're on birth control, you know, if something's 99% effective and a million people are doing it, there's a whole bunch of people getting pregnant, even if it's 1% or 0.5% or, you know, 2%. And that's without human error, like people putting on their condom properly or missing to take their pill or whatever the issue is, or maybe the manufacturer having a batch that's defective or not mixed properly. All those kind of factors run into the situation. So, you know, if you have so many people having sex, yes, don't have sex if you're not ready to have a family, if you're not ready to have a kid, if you're not ready to support it. And that's, I think, where the education is just totally missing. You know, we're not telling
you got
people
a lot
that,
of dysfunctionality, and it shows. You got lack of authority at home, lack of authority at school. Then when you get out in the public, it plays out like interactions with police. You have lack of respect for authority. So I don't know what's going to happen. Only thing I can say, these people just going after this type of culture, and individuals that's partaking is just going to have to die off once they get into these situations where the consequences lead to some very, very bad things.
Well, it's one thing that I've kind of talked about in the past is that as a culture, you have the rise and fall of an empire, and we are in that phase of we've hit the peak, and we're on the way down. And by that, I mean the signals you look for are the culture getting into bread and circuses. We're giving away free food, you know, like welfare and homelessness. And then we have the gladiator sports, like football, where we watch people pay for the entertainment. It's all about entertainment. And the loss of morality, loss of family unit. So you start getting into the sodomy, the gay lifestyle, lesbian lifestyle, when a culture historically, we'll go back to Rome or go back to other cultures, Greece, when it gets into that area where there's no foundation, the culture gets overrun and just falls apart. And something as simple as, like, take Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett did the whole
He had black privilege. He should have been in jail. Look at the black privilege he had. It's about time to get off of him.
When you tie the pieces together, you start to see how it all works. Like, what was he doing? He's Jussie Smollett Harris. And he grew up with Kamala Harris in the Bay Area, like the Harris families. They knew each other. And his godmother was Angela Davis from the Black Panthers in the Bay Area. Angela Davis was a communist. So when Jussie got arrested, and he did the whole he put a rope around his neck, and he paid a couple of Nigerian bodybuilders to pull off this crime, to say that people from MAGA country did this, and to discredit Donald Trump. And what happened a month before he did that, or about 2 months before, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker had did the anti-lynching law, even though no one's been lynched for 6 years.
And that doesn't make any sense. But this thing is about ready to go off here in a minute.
He did this whole thing, you know, to basically promote that law. And when he got arrested, Kim Fox, who was in charge of Cook County, she basically connected to, I think their name is Michelle King or whatever. She was basically Michelle Obama's assistant. Jussie was hanging out with Kamala at the White House and with Michelle Obama. And so he was kind of part of the whole trans LGBTQ movement that they were trying to put into the White House and into the schools. So that's a Michelle's assistant called Kim Fox and said, hey, you got to, you know, take it easy on this case and back off. And that's what they did. They basically were going to let it all slide until it got re-reviewed and taken away from her. And then and this all hooks up the Obamas. And the Obamas are very good friends with Bill Ayers, which is the weatherman. In the late 60s, they were bombing the Postal Service. They were bombing federal buildings. And the weathermen, they wanted to overthrow the U.S. government. And Obama actually was on the same board in the same neighborhood with Bill Ayers. So as far as this whole connection of this kind of communist, anti-American, basically rework America, it's all kind of tied into that, especially Chicago. That's where a lot of all these people are connected to. But that's where Jesse, you know, got no, people don't connect these dots to see the big picture, how they're all interconnected as part of this whole thing with the White House, to have a rainbow White House and to have a trans culture. And that's what they've been promoting, and to basically question American values in the school system. And that's why Bill Ayers works within the university level. And that's where you see a lot of this stuff with the schools. The kids are taught all the trans and all the basically it's disrupting our American belief in our history. You know, question everything of our forefathers, and to get rid of the flag, get rid of our Pledge of Allegiance. Don't salute the flag. And it's all part of this, and it's basically a communist idea. Just to infiltrate America through the universities and through the school system. And it's working. It's totally working. And, you see it with kids nowadays. You can't have talk about God. You can't have the Bible. You can't have morality.
If people let that go on, then they deserve what they get. People have the ability to stop that. But like I said before, you got some dysfunctional, ignorant people. Parents who are functional, parents who do the right thing with their children, should have the possibility of not allowing their kids go to school with other kids who come from parents who are just the opposite. I mean, that's just the way it is, the way it should be. Anyway, it's after 12 here. I'm getting ready to get off here.
It's that time.
All right. Nice talking to you. See you next time.
Take care. We'll see you again.